Blog Talk Radio.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and try your call again. 30813V5. We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and try your call again. 3081.
Are you there yet?
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Well, folks, if you're listening, we're here. We're having a little bit of technical difficulty. I got to get Ed back on the air, so if you could give me a break and just hang on, we'll have him here shortly. Call into the listener line. Call your into the listener line. Bye. And welcome
Hello.
To the show. We're having a hell of a time, but Ed's calling in now, and we're going to get this program started in just a couple of minutes. How are you tonight?
Kind of like old times with technical difficulties, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I thought I heard Ed's voice there.
Yeah, he actually hit the wrong button and canceled the show. I had to rebuild it.
I see. That's why I said that.
Yeah, we're broadcasting. I got to hear the caller come in from 480. If you'd hang on for just 1 second, I'll get to you in a second. The start of the show is going live with us now. Ed, are you there?
I certainly am, Junebug. This is Ed Nowicki, the host of Police Talk Radio, and you heard my executive producer, Junebug, on the line. And you know what, Jimmy, we got started late. Excuse me, Junebug, I know you like to go by your AKA, also the Gangster of Love, they call him. I think Al Sharpton and Barack Obama are behind us. That's why we couldn't connect right away. That's the problem. Those two guys, they did something. They know what we're going to do. We're going to bring them. We're going to expose everything we need to talk about as far as the fraud and BS and liberal mentality of bashing cops. We're going to handle it. All right, I want to tell you a little bit about the show. You heard my executive producer, Junebug, on the line. My background, well, I started my career long ago in a galaxy far away. Now, I'll give you a little bit. I was around for the King riots, the Martin Luther King riots when he was assassinated, not the Rodney King ones. That was long ago in 1968. I was there for the Democratic Convention, the Democratic National Convention. That's when our famous mayor, the first Mayor Daley, well, you know, we had two Richard Daleys as mayor. We had the first one, who I call Papa Doc. Then his son is Baby Doc. Anyway, during that time, he made a great statement. They were saying, oh, look at all the police. They're part of this. They're creating disorder. And his famous statement was, the police aren't here to create disorder. The police are here to preserve disorder. That was Mayor Daley. That was Papa Doc. Anyway, I've been around since that time. I worked at a couple of different places. I had over 10 years in Chicago. I literally left for greener pastures, was the chief of police in a couple of departments in Wisconsin, and went and got my bachelor's degree, my master's degree, and I got hired as the police training director at a two-year college, mostly training Milwaukee suburban officers. And it's been I love every minute I've been in law enforcement, but I'll tell you right now, law enforcement needs our support, very much so. The lack of support from the White House, the left-leaning liberal media, and the hate groups really out after law enforcement people, that is a tough road ahead. I don't know what we're exactly going to do, but we're going to go and make things better for our cops. That's what we're going to do. And you got to understand the motivation of the media. They get more money with blood. It's, you know, blood is money. If it bleeds, it leads. What do I mean by that? You put nice stories in. There's tons of nice stories about cops all over the place. You find them real easy. They don't get any publicity, though, because no one wants to hear about the nice things. You save a baby's life. You help a drug addict recover when he would have died. You give CPR to a guy that had a heart attack. You're helping a woman that has a huge gash in her arm that's about to bleed to death. You never hear about it. Cop does something a little bit wrong. Sometimes it isn't even wrong. It's the way it looks. I'm going to tell you something about police use of force. Police use of force, even when it's proper, even then, it looks bad on video. It's horrible on video. And that's just the nature of the beast. All right, Junebug, what's we got going on there?
Harvey's on the line, but I'm going to ask Harvey to hold on. We got a call from 480. Go ahead, 480. Eric, go 480.
Okay, 480, you're on the line. This is Ed. What you got?
Ed, hi. Congratulations on the program, and I'm just so delighted to hear that finally we're getting some positive reports from police.
I'll tell you, Caroline, this is Caroline. I'll leave it. She has a Facebook page supporting our troops and their families. She has a heart of gold. She's a hard worker. She helped us tremendously with what we're doing is in Project Blue Lifesaver, thanking the cops and giving them a role of lifesavers, very symbolic, very important. And she just grabbed that one by the horns and made it happen. Because I'm a one-man show. Caroline, you're a one-woman show. But together, maybe, you know, we get it together, maybe we're three at times. We had a little synergy in there. But it's good to hear from you. You want to check out her on Facebook, go to supporting our troops and their families. What a wonderful job. She not only loves the troops, she loves law enforcement. A lot of good things about law enforcement on there, too. So, Caroline, what you got to tell us? What's new? What do you got in the time ahead?
Well, just continuing to look to support the police as much as possible. And we did send out 50 letters to all the different states with the peppermints, the lifesavers. So looking forward to. Yeah.
Very good, Caroline. I thank you. She's been a godsend, taking this thing by the horns. And all 50 states, we got it covered. But listen, if you're listening here, not only you, but you have other people that you talk with, that you interact with, what you should do, no uncertain terms, is to get them involved. And you go to on Police Supporter on Facebook. Go to Police Supporter. We started something to go in with Project Lifesaver, Project Blue Lifesaver. Cops are known with blue. And what do we mean by cops? We mean everybody. We mean deputy sheriffs. We mean state troopers. We mean state agents, federal agents, game wardens, anybody with the power of arrest, university cops, and even our four-legged cops. I would give them lifesavers, but maybe you got a nice dog bone you could share with them. It's all about showing the men and women in law enforcement, the police officers out there, sticking their neck on the line day in and day out, doing what they can to keep you safe. While they're doing that, they're exposing themselves. That's just the way it goes sometimes. They expose themselves. And it's the nature of the job. In fact, when I look back, I have a lot of fond memories in law enforcement. A lot of fond memories. Wonderful people I've worked with all my life. I was blessed. However, when I look at it now, even though less officers are getting killed than way back then, I think it's more dangerous. And I'll tell you why. We have less officers being killed today because at that time, 25 to 30% of the officers killed were killed with their own weapon or another police officer's weapon. We still have that happen, but it's under 10%. I'm not sure what happened in Fox Lake, Illinois, with Lieutenant Joe Glinowitz, if he was shot with his own weapon or not. There's been some questions about that. But we don't have as many officers being killed with their own weapon or another officer's weapon. We have security holsters, which have done wonders. We've had weapon retention training, which has really saved a lot of officers' lives. We also got into positioning and how we stand and where our body is. And when we're facing somebody, that's an important consideration in law enforcement. So we cut that down. And what else has cut it down? Soft body armor, people. Soft body armor. A gentleman named Rich Davis came up with the concept. He got in a battle with some – he was delivering pizzas of all things. He got in a battle, and he killed two guys in this battle. The problem was there were three guys, and Rich got shot up real bad. And this was in 1969 when they landed people on the moon, and he's hearing about what they're wearing, and because they have these small little meteorites that could, you know, the spacesuit would stop it. And Rich came up with his first soft body armor out of ballistic nylon, not Kevlar. Then there was a lady, her name escapes me, at DuPont. She came up with Kevlar, and it's been a godsend. So we have a lot of officers that would be dead today if it wasn't for Kevlar, even from automobile accidents if it wasn't for Kevlar. And I know what Rich has done, just his companies alone, saved well over 1,000 police officers since his company came into inception. Not many people know about Rich Davis. I think his new one is Armored Express. I believe that's the name of it in Michigan. His name is Richard Davis, and a wonderful man, got a heart of gold, isn't always politically correct, but that doesn't make him a bad guy. And, you know, what he's done for law enforcement, every time I see him, I give him a hug. I can't help it. I'm one of those big guys, burly. I like to think of athletic. And somebody might say, well, Kerry's a little bit too much. You got to remember, I'm Wisconsin. You know, we have beer, we have brats, we have all kinds of things going on here. And we call our beer in Wisconsin Kool-Aid. Understand that. All right, Jimmy, are you giving me a signal there, Junebug?
We got one other caller on the line. Harvey's on the line with us.
Okay, this is a very special guest that we have on the line, a gentleman by the name of Harvey Hedden. I've had the pleasure of knowing him and Junebug for about 35 years, and Junebug and Harvey are great guys. Harvey now is the head of the International Law Enforcement Educators and Trainers Association, ILETA. And he's done a commendable job, a wonderful job in leading that organization. Harvey and I also started a talk radio show for about 7 years in the mid-90s. And we were on for about 7 years, and we went from 12 markets, I think, to about 127. Harvey, is that about right?
Yeah, it was about that, Ed, when we finally hung it up right after 9/11, things got busy.
Yeah, Harvey got real busy. Him and I were doing a lot of training around the country. I was doing a lot of expert witness work as a use of force expert, and it was just a very hairy time.
We never had any radio technical difficulties then.
No, you know what? Everything's supposed to be simple now with internet. It was simple. You had this thing, and we'd call an ISDN line. We hit the number and we connected. That was the end of it. It was high tech.
Yeah,
it went out over satellites and everything. Went back to Oregon.
While,
they put it on satellites. Our network did, and heard all over the country. 127 markets. Here we are on the internet.
We had difficulties with the old system, though, too. I remember once in a while a plug get unplugged or something like that. We every once in a while we had difficulties with it. So it's like going back home, Ed, to have a little bit of technical difficulty with the inaugural show. It kind of puts you back in time.
Yeah, you got that right. I remember, we had we'd have three phone lines hooked up. Then finally, after a while, we did it out of a studio, WRJ in Racine, and then we just did it on our own with the ISDN line. Harvey, you see police officers today, and you see a lot of challenges. As far as training is concerned, what area do you think our police officers, what area do they need training? And I want to put our phone number out here for people to call. It's simple. It's 1-646-929-0909. I'll give it 646-929-0909. Very simple. If I could say it, you could get on the line here. So get us on the line, you know, call in, give us a call, and we'll see what's it all about. Now, Harvey, where do you see where are the biggest challenges in law enforcement today as far as keeping our cops alive with training?
Well, you know, law enforcement has always needed training, but today things are more complicated than ever before in every line of work, and the threats are very real. The threats are very diverse and complicated. But I think the biggest demand we're seeing for training is more of a political reaction, Ed, to the very thing that you're trying to counter. There has been some high-profile cases out there, and there is a myth that law enforcement abuses use of force, when in fact law enforcement hardly ever uses real force in 99.9% of the cases.
And when they do, but I'm of the opinion, Harvey, with all the videos going on, and they got, you know, videos all over the streets and shining, and I mean, it's like almost you're on camera somewhere all the time. They're having the body cameras, the dash cameras. Even when you see officers legitimately use reasonable force, and that's the factor that the U.S. Supreme Court says it's all about. It's reasonable force. But Harvey, when I see this, I know they use reasonable force, but when you get it on video and it's proper, boy, it looks ugly. You know that even
well, sometimes
proper
you're right, Ed. You're right. And Ed, you spent a good deal of your career explaining to people what that, you know, why that was proper use of force. And one of the things that the association is doing now is trying to be proactive in explaining the realities of use of force, as opposed to what you see on TV where the cop always gets struck first, you know, and it's, and he can shoot the gun out of the guy's hand. All those things that we've been trying to educate the public on for years is still a mission of groups like ours to try to educate the public as to what the realities of the street and what the realities of the use of force are. But there, I think there's a great myth out there, and partially perpetuated by groups like PERF and the President's Commission that was instituted to try to find out what's wrong with law enforcement, that the problem is entirely law enforcement, that the problem is something that the training can address. And PERF came out and said, well, you know, what law enforcement needs is better de-escalation training. Well, Ed, you and I know because we did de-escalation training going back decades ago. We worked on that.
You know
a guy named George Thompson came out with a book named Verbal Judo. Remember, we remember that. We used that. We used many other plays. We used Roland Ouellette's book to try to influence and help improve police training. And we've had de-escalation training. But that de-escalation training depends on the idea that the other side, that the suspect, wants to de-escalate, that he wants to comply, that he wants to happen. And so,
I hear you, Arv.
Yep.
I hear you.
So we need to educate the public better. You're right, Ed. We need to correct this myth that's out there that officers are running amok. And the problem is, and I know you've said this, is if we don't do that, things are only going to get worse in those big cities as they are now.
It's documentation. What people don't realize, and we say this to the officers, and someone look confused. You could hit them back first. And what do they mean by that? We see signs where this person is going to. Behavioral signs. Roland Ouellette wrote a great book on this called Management of Aggressive Behavior, MOAB. And it's a book for report writing. You see all these signals. And if you're seeing this guy is about to explode, you don't need to wait and get hurt by this guy. You could hit him first, but you got to document it. It's all about documentation. You got to be right. And police use the force. I want you to understand, all police force is reactive. Police officers can't use proactive force. They can't just walk up to somebody and put cuffs on them. It doesn't work that way. It's officers react to the behavioral signals of what they see other people doing. And what you're doing with ILETA, I went to the conference in April. In fact, a sad reminder at the conference was Fox Lake Police Lieutenant Joe Glinowitz was there, and you know, he was a member of ILETA, and you know, Harvey, you get ganged up by three guys. And I remember the officer, maybe about a month or so ago, Mobile, Alabama, he should have shot this guy. He took the officer's gun and half beat him to death. And he was worried about getting in trouble with the media. And that's what we have going on. We're going to have
officers. That's the real change. You're right, Ed. You're right. That's the real change is, you know, we always have worried about trying to keep cops alive by having them use a proper guessing themselves, and they're second guessing whether they'll be backed up by their own administration, by their jurisdiction that they work for, and they're afraid of making the wrong decision, and in some cases they're going to get themselves hurt, and we're going to see guys not want to belong to agencies like that. We are seeing in some of the bigger cities real problems with recruitment, real problems trying to attract people to come to work someplace where you not only might lose your life, but even if you aren't killed in the line of duty, we might put you in prison because of political motivations and not the realities of the law or the use of force or anything else. So what's going to happen if you don't have cops on the street or cops who are unwilling to do their job? It's going to be really bad for these neighborhoods, for these poor urban neighborhoods. It's going to be horrible for them. It's just going to get worse there. And you're already seeing indications that the bad guys realize that. That the bad guys realize that the police are having a hands-off policy. They're not going to go that extra yard.
No, they aren't. And there's a term I heard recently. We have now what's called radio cops. What I mean by that is police officers will handle the calls they get on the radio, and that's about it, because they can't get in trouble. They get sued. They get hurt. And you talk about what there's a silent killer in law enforcement. It's called stress, and it grinds you away. It's like, you know, the drip, drip, drip of a faucet onto a rock. Sooner or later, that rock will be ground down from just drops of water falling on it. And that's what the stress does. You say, well, we aren't attacked all that often, but some people play games. They do a shift on us. They go to grab real quick for their wallet. They're playing games like that. You don't know what's going on. You don't know. Can you bet your life? Here's the bottom line we have to ask, Harvey. Can you bet your life that what this person doing is fine and dandy? I saw a video recently, and we posted on the police supporter Facebook page. The guy, he said, I had a gun. He goes, yeah, and the guy starts reaching for it. Officer had his gun out. If he would have shot the guy, I'd say it was a reasonable shoot. He didn't shoot the guy, and everything turned out okay. And those are things we got to say, hey, what's reasonable, what's not, with use of force, Harvey?
Right, and you know, Ed, I had an interesting conversation with a young man the other day who's just finishing college and was asking about going into law enforcement. What do you think about doing it? And I said, where are you thinking about doing that? And he was thinking about going to the city of Chicago. And I said, that's probably the last place I'd pick. It's probably the place that needs somebody like you the most, but for your sake, if it was me personally, I would try to pick a jurisdiction. If I was going to go into law enforcement at all, I'm not even sure I can say that that's a good idea anymore. But if I would want to make sure I'm in an area that has strong values, that has strong support for its law enforcement, a strong sense of law and order. And if you don't have those things going for you, realize you're going to be fighting more than just the bad guys, that you might be fighting your own political processes in that jurisdiction and have to have your own attorney. Look at the case like in Ferguson, Ed. Here's a guy that even the Justice Department couldn't find anything wrong with what he did. And he now has to live in hiding. He has to hide his face. He can't shop. He can't travel. He can't do anything anymore. And there's a warrant out for that person by the Black Panthers. There's a murder.
You know,
there's
a death warrant
out for an officer. And we think that's okay. That's the new normal. The new normal is it's okay to say kill the police, fry them up like bacon. I have to imagine that if people were in the streets chanting to murder any other group, be it someone who had a particular religious affiliation, a particular color or sexual preference, if any of those things happened, if we were marching down the street saying, you know, fry gays up like that, can you imagine the public outcry that there would be and the reaction from the government? But now it's the new normal to say it's okay to talk about killing police. That's protected speech, and it's okay.
And well, I'll tell you, the way the media molds this, they have to understand the media, the left-leaning liberal media, they're pimps for advertising, and they want to get the dollars coming, and they want it looking real good. But let me ask people this. Megyn Kelly, who's on Fox, if there's a bad guy that's involved with something, she never mentions a person's name. But we asked this, Harvey, Michael Brown. Everybody hears the name Michael Brown. I wonder how many people remember the officer that was in contact with Michael Brown, and that's Ferguson, Missouri, with a false narrative of hands up, don't shoot. What a lineup. What a crock. And how many people out there can you answer who was the police officer involved without getting on the internet and whatever? You remember that officer's name? You remember Michael Brown's name? You don't remember the officer's name? Give us a call at 646-909, I don't have it in my memory yet, 646-929-0909. That's 646-929-0909. And Harvey, today, my son, you know my son, third generation law enforcement, and we're a police family. I was working on the grandkids, encouraging them and the likes to consider law enforcement. And they looked up to me and, you know, your grandpa and, you know, big, tough, macho guy and whatever. And I'm backing off that now, Harvey. And that hurts me. It really hurts me. For that's why I feel compelled and why I felt compelled to do this show. This isn't something I want to do. This is something I must do. And I hate to use the expression, and I'm not born again, but I have a spiritual awakening that happened within me. Recipient of a miracle. If people want to read about it, it's in the long description on Police Supporter on Facebook. You could read about it, but I had the spiritual awakening, and I didn't know what it was, and I turned on the TV, and I saw Ferguson, Missouri. It was one of those light bulb moments, Harvey. The light bulb went on, and I knew what I must do. I have to do everything I can for the men and women in law enforcement. The police community needs support of the people. Not only me, but that's who I'm trying to awaken. I'm trying not only, you know, we get a lot of cops, retired cops on, part of Police Supporter, which is great. I love these guys. I love these gals. They're wonderful. But I also want to get the public part of it. Have them understand, see the good that officers do. And lately, there's been so much going on where horrible things where officers it's just terrible what they're going through. I like to put, I call it PPN, positive police news. And we like to put
Ed,
that out
another,
there. Positive Ed, police news.
Ed, we got another
news.
Caller.
All right. Harvey, what I'm going to do, we got one on the line, and I'm going to let you go. And I want to thank you, Harvey, for being you were with me when we launched the show. So my brother in blue, we're two brothers of a different mother and father, but that's who we are. All right,
anytime,
I'll talk to you.
Anytime you need Ed, you need backup, Ed, you got it.
Harvey and Junebug, these two guys are, we're blood brothers, man. We really are. We're all brothers. All right, we got a caller on the line, calling on the line. And caller, what's your name?
Julie?
Yes, hello.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the line. You're on the air.
Oh, yes, my name is Julie.
Julie, okay. What, you have a question or comment, Julie?
Well, first I want to ask, how is Ed feeling?
You're talking to Ed right now. He's feeling
okay.
Better. I
That's
went
good.
Through a whole lot of problems with pain, and I'm a recipient of a miracle. I had pain, and it wasn't supposed to go away and only get worse. And to be honest, I'm bearing my soul. Legally, I was on morphine, oxycodone, and Vicodin. And I would have sniffed glue if they told me it would have helped me. I lived in pain. I went to have a knee operated on, which had no connection with the other stuff. My pain went away, and I asked God to take me when I went under the knife. And God didn't. He said, I'm giving you a second chance. He didn't tell me what. And that's when I turned on the TV, and I saw Ferguson, Missouri. That ripped on my heart, Julie, and I knew without any doubt what I'm supposed to do. And I would say, working Police Supporter, I work late, but I make up for it by getting up early. And this is my soul, my compassion. I'm doing everything I can, Julie. Thank you. Thanks for asking. Do we know each other?
In a roundabout way, yes. I probably have met you several times through Jim.
Okay. All right. All right. I think I know. Oh, yeah, Julie. And you're a police officer, are you not?
Yes. Retired temporarily with a medical issue.
Okay, medical issue, retired police officer. God bless you, you know, for what you've done, and I know what department you worked at was a pretty tough department as far as coming up with some bad people.
Yeah.
And I don't want to mention the department's name because you know you give them a label or whatever. But what do you think? One of the things where cops are facing today that maybe our listeners could understand maybe. Make things a little bit better for them. What do you think?
I think that we have a national administration, basically our president, and I think our other leaders are not denouncing what is happening.
You know, Julie, this is one of the things.
They're not denouncing it.
I used to talk about what we have in police work. Unfortunately, we have too many managers. You manage people. You manage things. You manage a budget.
Right.
You manage where you're going to put people working. We have not as many leaders. We need leaders.
We have no
leaders. You manage things, you lead people. And we need
right.
leaders in the ranks of law enforcement today. And I'm just not seeing it like I once did. I don't know if that's the trend of the future. And you know, there are bean counters, a lot of bean counters. And who knows?
Well, it's much like what you see going on in the political situation right now. You have the presidential candidates telling people, you know, political correctness is killing our country. Well, it's killing this job, too.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know. I don't know. And I never used to see something that I see now. They have a police recruiting section in many departments. They even have, you know, I remember I was at a conference. I mean, it was far away, but Anchorage Police Department sent somebody down to the lower 48 at a conference I was at, and they were trying to recruit people to go to Anchorage Police Department. And they paid a lot of money, but things are a lot higher there, too. But recruiting, getting the right people, and I talk to a lot of administrators, and sometimes getting the right people is tough. They get people that were arrested. They've already had people with drugs in their system, and they put them on a polygraph, and the thing goes tilt. It doesn't work, Julie, and I don't know what the answer is. I wish the heck I did.
Well, now it's going to be even harder to get recruits because right now policing is an all-time unpopular job to want, a career to want. Right now is probably the worst time. You know, who we have is who we have, and what will happen is they'll drop their standards or more. I'm sorry, I think college education is great, but I've also seen college education not produce really very good police recruits. I can't tell you how many we've flushed on our agency that have been college educated. They couldn't walk into gum at the same time.
I'm a big believer. I mean, you know, I'm a big believer in education, but what education really comes down to, it helps you spell experience. But some of the people coming in, and I worked in an educational system. I was a tenured faculty member at a college, and I saw people coming in that I dealt with the instructors. I'm talking in other departments in social sciences and the likes. These guys, if one of them was going on a trip, I always got him an umbrella. And they said, why do you give an umbrella? And I never told many people this, because these people don't have sense to come in out of the rain. They're educated morons. And they end up getting a job, and who decides whether they get the job a lot of the time? Another educated moron. And they brainwash our people in college, and they're coming in there. They're coming into law enforcement, and they think that they have a false expectation of what police work is about. And you should.
Right.
I mean, you should have realistic expectations. They don't, and I've dealt with them. I mean, I have people as recruits in the police academy. They couldn't show up on time. Why are you late? My mom didn't wake me up on time. Okay, have your mom write me a report. I had
their
mom write me a report,
literally.
And I told them why they put their personal responsibility on their mother. And this is what we're getting. And I hope it gets better.
We had one.
And, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. They don't understand the need.
No.
I'd say to them, Now, your mother or your sister or your child or your spouse is dying. Would you like to know that the police officer can't get there while they're being attacked by somebody because you didn't get to work on time? I say, isn't that a wonderful thing? Chances are that's not going to happen, but all it takes is once. I mean, we got, you know, 750,000 officers all over the country, and sooner, I mean, they're not working it all the time. All it needs to happen is once. I guarantee it happens frequently because they don't show up on time. It always doesn't always get reported as such, but, you know, they might get some the department discipline. It's a sad state, Julie. I'm sorry to hear that when things like that go on.
I wanted to go back to the original comment you made about what was you mentioned Ferguson and the other. I mentioned our current leadership, our national leadership, not police specifically. I'm talking about our senators, legislators, even our president. They have not denounced any of this stuff going on, attacks against the police. This is just going to continue to get worse. What has it been, 9 officers in a week now, 8 officers in a week?
You know, you're right. And I remember Black Lives Matter. At one, and I think it was 4 or 5 weeks' time, we had 4 officers killed. All of them were black.
Right.
Where was Black Lives Matter? Where were they?
Right.
Those guys count? You darn right they counted. And I get a little bit, I mean, they have an agenda, and I don't know what the hell their agenda is, but they have an agenda. And I say, the hell with them. You see these people, they're dangerous. I'm telling you, they're dangerous. You read what they want to do.
Are.
You know, they want to kill police officers. It's all right. It's especially good if you're a cracker cop. That means a white cop. But they'll kill black cops, too. When they're cops, that kind of is the equal opportunity kill you factor. And I get a little bit sick with, and nobody stands up against these people. Why the hell not? Why don't they do it? These people are scum when they profess things like that. Who would profess killing other human beings and people that are sworn to protect? Sure, there are bad shootings. There's bad doctors. I mean, there's bad everything. Oh, I'm only against the bad cops. Oh, really? That's really a stretch. I'm only against the bad of anything. And I look at this, these groups, they are counterproductive, Julie, and this is another. I'll tell you, I was at a shootout, not the infamous one when Fred Hampton and Mark Clark got killed in Chicago. I was a Chicago cop. We were at a shootout at the Panther headquarters on Madison, right near Western. And, I mean, it was unbelievable. These people hated your guts. And
yes,
I don't know if the Panther Party is the same way, but if they have accepted that legacy, it's dangerous, and it's really dangerous.
Yes.
I don't know what the answer is. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I know what the answer is, but we don't have the leaders speak out. Where's Obama?
No.
They ask him about radical Islamic terrorists. What answer does he give? Well, I just don't see it. Yeah, right. You don't
see
it.
Well, he'd rather go rename a mountain.
Blindfold off. Go ahead, Julie. I'm sorry. I get wound up when I get about this because somebody has to care. Somebody.
Well, he doesn't, and our entire legislative branch does not care right now. Nobody has denounced any of these attacks going on. Nobody has denounced Black Lives Matter. Until that happens, I would suspect this is going to continue. This is going to continue, and it's going to be bloody. But I will say this. I had the opportunity to attend at least part of the funeral for Lieutenant Joe Glinowitz here in Fox Lake that was just killed last Tuesday. I will tell you, I was able to see part of the procession route, and I was told by my other friends it was wall-to-wall people holding up signs in support of Joe Glinowitz, his family, and in support of the police in general. So the normal good Americans, it seems like, you know, it seems like they're out in force. It seems like they're aware. It seems like the good people are really starting to figure out what's going on.
Maybe it'll rise up. There was a term that Richard Nixon used, the president, and I'm not a big Nixon fan, but he used a term called silent majority. Well, you know what?
Yes.
The silent majority better not be silent. Because you know what? If this keeps going on, the route we're going, things are going to get – you think it's bad? It's going to get worse. The good people – evil happens because good people stand and do nothing. That's how evil happens. If you're a good person and you allow it, that's the way evil happens. We cannot allow it.
Sir Edmund Burke actually said that. That was one of his you know, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
That's absolutely correct. And we were having that, and I'm hoping, we have, I think he's in the blue room, but I have an officer, E. Jeffrey. You know, we're broadcasting here from the penthouse between Twin Lakes and Genoa City, but we're the building is a ranch, so figure the penthouse that. But E. Jeffrey's supposed to be here, and I think he is here, and we're going to talk a little bit about what he saw and what it meant to him as an attendee at that funeral, because I know he was there, and he said it was just – he's been to other funerals, unfortunately.
It is. I have been. I was at that one a couple years ago when the Kenosha County deputy was shot and killed.
Frank Fabiano.
It was
Frank Fabiano.
And they were it's
Fabiano,
a sad thing
Julie.
To go to, but they everybody sticks together. It's it was a good thing to, it's a sad thing, but it's a good thing to see too.
You know, and sometimes when a bad thing happens, if you just let the bad thing keep on being bad, that's counterproductive. It'll grind you down. And I'm sure if those dead officers had something to come back and they would say, listen, learn from what happened to me. Things not only can happen, they do happen. Look what happened to me and learn from it. And I don't want to die for nothing. I don't want my death to be in vain. You should be able to get something out of it. You don't want to do nothing. I'm going to give our number out a call, our number out again. If you want to give us a call, our number, 646-929-0909. 646-929-0909. And I'm going to go to another caller on the line here, and I'll let you go. Jimmy, is that, or Junebug, I should say, is that caller still on the line?
Hi
there,
here.
Junebug.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay,
hello.
Who do I have here? Yes, who do I have? Caller?
You have Julie on the line.
Julie,
okay.
You still have the lady from the military group.
Oh, yes, no. Okay, yes. The military people, God bless you. I love you. You guys are wonderful. I had the honor of doing training 4 separate weeks in Rota, Spain, and I did 4 separate weeks in Naples, Italy for the United States Marine Corps, training their PR-24 baton instructors. Wonderful people, the people in the military. I love you. People in all across America, we got to appreciate our military too. And what comments did you want to make? Hello? Hello? Maybe they got called up. I'm not sure what happens, but I want to give you a little thing. Just to tell you a little bit, George Soros funded Black Lives Matter with $33 million. Now, that's a whole lot of money. Some of those people are paid to go and be protesters at wherever they're going to go. Wherever they're going to go, they're going to be protesters. And funded with that amount of money. And I'm not complaining a whole lot, but I went out of pocket a lot to set up what we're doing, everything we're doing, the police talk radio show, police supporter, what we're doing, trying to promote the good of law enforcement, trying to get people to stand up and be heard, stand up and be counted. If you want, we have a policesupporter.org. One of the things I'm wearing right now is I'm wearing a blue T-shirt, and over the left breast area, it's got the Police Supporter logo, and it says policesupporter.org below it. These are Magnum weight shirts, the real heavy cotton. They're 100% cotton, pre-shrunk. And I've seen these things, people selling other shirts, this exact same shirt with some other logo on it. Oh, they'll have it on sale for $28.95. What do we have them? $9.95. That's it. And shipping, and I forgot what the shipping is, but it's on the website. Go to policesupporter.org. That simple, policesupporter.org. And what we have a book also. If you want to get a feel for what policing is across America, I had the honor of writing 2 chapters and being the editor of a book that was published called American Blue. And it normally sells for $24.95, and we have it for $19.95. We're just trying to make a little bit of money off that. But I'll tell you what happens with that book. 100% of the royalties are donated to the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund. 100% of it. Don't take a dime out of royalties. That was the deal with the other people that submitted chapters from men and women all over the country, from police departments, from sheriff's departments, from state troopers, from federal units, from all over, the men, the women. Things that will make you laugh, you'll hold your sides, laugh out loud, really, and things that you cannot read without welling up in tears, because that's what it does to you. It's a wonderful book, and naturally, I'm prejudiced, but I wouldn't have took the chapters. I took a lot of chapters, and I didn't want to hurt people, but they were not acceptable. But American Blues out there, you can go to policesupporter.org. It's simple, www.policesupporter.org. Get your credit card, order a book. It helps fund Police Supporter, helps the thing we're doing to stay on the radio, to do what we're doing. And one of the things we want to do, if we start getting some money in and we want to spend all the money, we want to provide scholarships to police officers, not for their training, but to send a police officer the ILETA conference, the 1 week where they get trained as instructors. This way they go back to their police agency and they train others. It's like the splash happens and the ripple keeps going out. The splash happens and the ripple keeps going out. And that's what we need to look at, what we're doing, what we're trying to do with the instructors. Keep them alive. I had a saying I used to use years ago, honoring life, or preventing death, honoring life. And that's what we want to do. We go to the police memorial. I can't go there without crying. Washington, D.C., I work with people shoulder to shoulder, multiple people whose names are on that wall when I was a Chicago police officer. For me, it has a special significance and very emotionally tied. But if you can ever get a chance, they're trying to build a museum. I was there for the groundbreaking ceremony. I want to do whatever I can. But what we're trying to do with Police Supporter, we're going for 501c3 status, and I doubt if anything will get approved while the current White House is in there for the next 16 months or so. But then if we have one of the Democratic people, and I'm not trying to get political, but I don't think it'll be much better. In fact, it might even be a little bit worse when you look at Bernie Sanders. Again, non-political. I'm looking out for the good of our nation, for the good of the men and women in law enforcement. And the way I look at it, if it's good for police officers, it's good for the nation. Now, I'd like to get E. Jeffrey in here and talk about what happened when E. Jeffrey went to that funeral and what it meant. It's very significant. And we have one thing where I want to promote a little bit. But this is nothing. There's no money involved with us for, you know, spending it in or credit cards or whatever. We started something as Operation Blue Lifesaver. And then what we did, we put that in a package. September 19th, that's not this coming Saturday. It's the following one. And speaking of that, I just want you to remember, this is the 9th of September. In 2 days is the 14th. Anniversary, the 14th anniversary of the bombings, the destruction of the World Trade Center, where 3,000 people lost their lives through a bunch of terrorists that took over airplanes, hit the Twin Towers, crashed with everybody on board in a field in Pennsylvania, and rammed the plane into the Pentagon. A horrible thing. But Operation Blue Blitz is something you can get going. The 19th they're saying is Thank a Police Officer Day. And they're making the weekend Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which is 18, 19, and 20 of September, not this weekend, the following one, as a special weekend to honor law enforcement. I'm going to tell you what you can do. Simple things. Hang a blue ribbon and tighten bows around your posts, tops of railings, trees, wherever visible. And blow up balloons, blue balloons, and string them to anything you can. Blue balloons. Use blue painter's tape. You can use blue painter's tape and put a strip on your rear window, put a strip on your bumper, put that strip there. And I wouldn't advise using duct tape, because duct tape sticks to everything, and you have a hell of a time pulling it off. Place a string of blue dark blue LEDs around your front windows, porch, or bushes. Also, you got a porch light, garage lights, replace that light with a dark blue light bulb. The reason why I inadvertently, unknowingly bought a light blue light bulb, and it almost is white. So they have them out there. I think you get them at Home Depot. They're not a sponsor, but I'll just give them a little plug. They have them at Home Depot. Wear all blue on those days. I'm wearing all blue now, and I have my police supporter shirt on. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want you to also think about random acts of kindness. Buy police officers a meal if you see an officer in a restaurant. Kind of like pay it forward. And you know, you're in general, if we all paid it forward a little bit, you know what? I remember post 9/11, everybody came together, everybody opening doors to one another, smiling. It unified us as a nation. What happened? We're fickle in America. About 6 months later, 9/11? Oh, that's the number you call for an emergency. Well, it isn't. It's 911. The reason I say that, because people were looking for, believe it or not, I'm serious, looking for the 11 on the phones. That's probably some of the college professors that I spoke about earlier. What else can you do? Drop off a thank you card at your police department. And if you can, get a bunch of people to sign it. You sign it, the family signs it, the neighbors sign it, the relatives sign it, and let them know thank you. That's all it takes. And here's another thing. Carefully approach a police officer. Extend your right hand by saying thank you. And move slowly, because these are some tough times with police officers. If you heard what went on in Aurora, Colorado.
We got a caller on the line.
Threatening to kill officers. All right, and I'm going to go to a caller now. And the last thing, Caroline Allen, was it with Blue Lifesavers? Give them a roll of Blue Lifesavers, because they are blue and cops are lifesavers. Okay, who do we have on the line, sir? Who's with us?
It's E. Jeffrey, Ed.
Oh, E. Jeffrey. Thanks for calling, E. Jeffrey. Now, you were at, I thought you were here, but apparently you couldn't get your schedule straightened out. Tell me what you saw when you went to Officer Joe Glenowitz's funeral. Were you there? Were you having your own, your department squad car?
There, I was representing. I was part of the procession. It was a squad car procession. It was over 18 miles long. We went through his hometown where he grew up, the town he patrolled and protected. We went through the outlying areas. There were literally hundreds of squad cars, in addition to thousands of people standing outside, saluting you, waving, holding flags, and showing their support for no other reason, just to show their support and say thank you.
You know, that's a wonderful feeling. I bet, I don't know if you noticed it, but I bet just knowing, if I'd have been there, I'd have been welled up with tears. Did you see people teared up during that, Jeffrey?
Many people saying thank you, mouthing thank you. The other officers I was with, we rolled out our windows so we can not only see them mouth the words thank you and be safe and all those things, so we could actually hear them say it. And then, the little kids, older people, it didn't matter. All make some models of people out there and showing their support. And there was nothing, it was actually on Labor Day, a national holiday, showing their support. It was almost like a parade route without people standing there expecting some kind of entertainment or candy being thrown at them. It was just there for the sole reason of showing support, no other reason. It really renewed my faith in humanity.
Jeffrey, I did a little checking on this. I interact with a lot of cops from all over. I'm not bashful about making phone calls. That's why we have you. I know you went to there. You had the department squad car. You were off Labor Day because you're a school resource officer. You were. I don't know if you still are, but you volunteered your time. They sent you in the marked car. Did another officer volunteer his time too?
There were three of us all volunteer time. Many of the officers I spoke to that were there were on their own time showing their support for this fallen officer and his family.
And where did you see officers from? Were they coming from far away, Jeffrey?
I saw officers representing New York City Police Department, Detroit Police Department, St. Louis Police Department. I don't even venture to guess how many states, but there were I have probably a couple dozen states that were represented. And I would guess every single department in Lake, Cook, and McHenry County, Illinois, and that were there representing their department and showing support.
And, you know, that,
literally
that
hundreds and hundreds of officers. Perhaps, I would say, you know, maybe a couple thousand, that many.
Wow. And it's unfortunate when something like that happens, but when it does happen, law enforcement officers have a certain duty that goes beyond the time clock, the professionals. You are what you are. Why are you an officer? Because that's what I do. It's a calling. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, Jeffrey, is that like J. Edgar Hoover or L. Ron Hubbard or one of those guys?
More like
G. Gordon Liddy or what?
Yeah, more like G. Gordon Liddy.
Okay, more like G. Gordon Liddy. I didn't think it was Hoover, but I didn't know L. Ron Hubbard either. This is a somber moment. I just put that in there. But, you know, when I see – I had the opportunity just briefly to meet him when I was at the ILEADA conference in April in Chicago. And, you know, from what I hardly remember talking to him, but, you know, you're talking to everybody, whatever. Here was a guy that was devoted to training, devoted to doing what he can, devoted to being the best cop. And he was supposed to be retired. But he stayed after a little extra because his department was short-staffed. That's why he stayed extra. And that's the devotion that some officers have. Officers going to there on their own time. Officers not retiring when they could have had things going on and planned. And, you know, it just tugs at your heart a little bit. I look at that. I've been to police funerals in Chicago, but that was a different time. You had a lot of Chicago cops there, not many others. But things now, when something happens, it's, you know, what you're doing.
Ed?
I look, you weren't. Go ahead.
We only got about 2 minutes left, and Carolyn's been holding, and she came back on the line. I'm sure she wants to say something.
All right, Caroline, you're there, lady. Come on and say something, girl.
I am, Ed. I've just been listening to what everybody's been saying, and I really want you all to know that the bottom line is you do make a difference. And I really just want to say thank you for your service and protection, and I don't think that can be said enough. And that definitely there needs to be so much more support, and I'm doing everything I can to provide that support.
You know, when I look at what you're doing about the same effort I'm doing, but you got a full-time job. This is my, you know, 150% full-time job, and I'm not doing what you are with a full-time job. And I know you don't do your full-time job. You don't do the work while at your full-time job. I know that. And what you're doing is remarkable, and you had some really positive contacts with police officers, and they didn't necessarily need to be positive the way it went down. Am I not correct?
Right. But, you know, seriously, you go through an experience like that and it gives you a greater appreciation for the police. And I think there's a lot of us out there who have had these horrible experiences where the police come in and they're a source of safety. And it's just not what the media is speaking. And I think a lot of people are afraid to come out and really even talk about it because there are really horrible circumstances in their lives. But it needs to be said. So
Go ahead.
Thank you. I mean, and if you ever question whether you make a difference, you do, and a significant one. And I just really want to thank you all from the bottom of my heart.
Well, you know, we have some great people in law enforcement, and I'm a little bit scared that, you know, what the future is going to have unless things change. Radio show! So listen next week, same time, same place. Tell your friends, tell your relatives, tell your neighbors, tell everybody. And as soon as this show's done, if you want to, you could download the podcast. Pretty simple. Maybe even something that I could figure out. Thank you, America. This is Ed DeWicke from Police Talk Radio. Take care, and above all else, please stay safe. Jimmy.
Hang up.